Reforming the government's acquisition process is a goal a lot of stakeholders share, but reform may be exactly the wrong approach for the 21st century. Kim McCabe is CEO of ASI Government. She's finishing up a series of columns on three myths that cripple acquisition. Kim, it's wonderful to have you back on the program. Congratulations on this series of columns sparking a lot of debate and a lot of discussion in the acquisition community. How in the world, though, did you get from federal acquisition to Wayne Gretzky in this piece? What is the significance of that, Kim? Good afternoon to you.
Thank you for having me on, and thanks, Francis. The way that we got there really is that we need to make space for thinking about what's ahead of us instead of thinking about what's behind us. And that's really what Wayne Gretzky has done historically to be successful.
His famous quote is, "You skate to where the puck's going to be, not to where it is or where it's been." And you write in this piece in Government Executive, and we have a link to it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, until federal buyers and sellers have a view of what acquisition can become and what value it could deliver, we'll continue spending billions on fixing the current system instead of investing in strategic choices to shape the future. Now, you write later on in the piece about Better Buying Power 3.0, and you write about FATARA and some of the congressional efforts to change acquisition. Are they, in your view, headed in the right direction, headed in the wrong direction, or maybe not even thinking about the right problem that we're dealing with, not just today, but at some point in the future?
So there's two answers to that in my mind. I mean, the first answer is that I don't know whether they're headed the right direction because I don't know what that direction is. And that's really what the point of the piece is that we haven't come together as an acquisition community, or really as a government, to understand the dynamics that are pressing on our environment and what we want to be in the future, and set that aim point so that as we select those investments we want to make or those policies we want to change, that we're headed on that trajectory. So I don't know whether we're headed the right direction or not. That said, just basically understanding what the collaboration age is, I know that some of the things that are being recommended are good steps. I just don't think that they're far enough, and they haven't been defined in terms of that aim point.
Well, if your point then was to get people to think about what the end looks like, you succeeded, because as I read this and then reviewed it and looked at it again, that saying "begin with the end in mind" kept coming back to me. And other than improve the acquisition process, reform the acquisition process, make it better, which is pretty amorphous, I'm not sure that many observers do have a sense of what it would look like at the back end. Is that what some of the folks involved with the acquisition of the future movement that you write about in here are trying to do?
Absolutely. In fact, have done a first draft of what that could look like in levels. So transformation levels, as you think about moving from an industrial age organization to a collaboration age organization, and trying to frame out how we might think about what those strategic choices are. And it's really in what we're calling dimensions or areas, having more sophisticated buyers, both at the individual level as well as at the total government level, having a healthy marketplace, having an outcomes-based acquisition system, having a proactive, empowered, innovative culture, and having engaged and aligned what we call externals, which is really the ecosystem. And we've really looked at what would those stages look like as we move from the industrial age into the collaboration age.
And that collaboration age is kind of the underlying framework of what you're writing about, not just in this piece, but in all of the pieces, maybe not explicitly in each of them, but that's the kind of what I saw between the lines. What's the difference between acquisition in the industrial age, the way that you propose that we're doing it right now, and what acquisition in the collaboration age would look like?
So I can give you examples, but you know, again, this is not a prescriptive, prescriptive effort. It's
sure.
A descriptive effort, and so it's really up to each of the leaders and the individuals who are in the government and are in the acquisition community to select what makes sense for them. Because what's needed, for example, at GSA is different than what's needed at Navy, which is different than what's needed at NOAA. That said, I mean, the general dynamics are really about seamless connection, global openness and collaboration, and driving down transaction costs. And because of the fact that we have now disruptive technologies that are allowing us to do those things, we should be using them. And frankly, we're seeing it in many, many other industries, right? I mean, examples. I mean, Skype is gobbling the phone. We've got Pandora that's devoured CDs. We've got Amazon that's eaten the bookstore. We've got Uber that swallowed the taxis, right? Completely different business models, completely new value that's being added as a result of the technologies, social production via social media, having this first generation that's grown up awash in technology and constant interconnection, and frankly, having everyone questioning the value of institutions, including government, really from the citizens all the way to the workforce.
So you write about some of this stuff, and when you spell it out in the piece, my first response was, well, how are they ever going to accomplish that? And yet, when you juxtapose what you're writing here against some of the disruptors that you just mentioned, it seems perfectly reasonable. So let's walk through the scenario that you, and again, I understand this is one scenario and it's not intended to be the only solution, but the way you lay this out, I think, is pretty cool. You write, we might imagine a future that includes, say, government-wide acquisition decision support assistance powered by cognitive computing that could draw on all acquisition regulations and data for every procurement, and you talk about some of the other transactions. That's a possibility that maybe even a couple of years ago didn't really exist, and yet it's really at the core of all of the big data conversations that we're having, which I guess makes it completely potentially plausible.
Yeah, in fact, it's real now. I'm not trying to plug a particular company, but for folks who are listening who remember Watson, made by IBM, that actually was on Jeopardy, they've now populated Watson with procurement data, real federal procurement data. And you can imagine that Watson could be at your fingertips so that when you have a question, you could ask it in natural language and it could provide you with an answer, which would frankly just move our folks in acquisition up the value chain. And so I think that it's not just that it could be real in the future. It is actually happening today, along with lots of other technologies that could help us to move in a different direction. And frankly, to transform the workforce that we have, not through just training and development, but what is needed of them will be different. And they will be able to finally be the strategic advisors they wanted to be because the grunt work is now taken out of acquisition.
You realize, though, that in any disruptive environment, the people being disrupted hate more than anything having their cheese moved, Kim. So how do you position this and how do you present this as beneficial to the people whose cheese is being moved?
So again, two things. I mean, first is this isn't up to us. We have, citizens in the workforce that are questioning the value of this capability. We hear it all the time. It's the reason it's, top of our lists all the time. And when you have your customers and your workforce questioning the value of what you're doing and disruptive technologies, it's going to happen to us. So what I'm advocating for is let's not do that, because I really believe in the value of this community and I care about this community. I think a lot of us do, and we believe it serves a really important function. That said, we've got to do this differently. It's important, nationally in terms of what we deliver, in terms of, half the discretionary budget coming through this community and where they sit in the value chain. And so it's going to happen to us. I'd much rather have us make the decision to actually add more value and different value using what we have in terms of the demographics and the technologies. But the other thing that I would say is that these folks are just, they have an opportunity to do what they've wanted to do, which is to get out of the grunt work and to be able to be strategic advisors. So it's a different role than we've historically played here, at least in recent past. But I think that it really would come as a refreshing change to many of them. And that's what we've found as we've talked to folks at conferences and we've talked to folks at these summits is they're ready for it. They want it. They're aching for it. And I think they're aligned with wanting to figure out how do we get there from here.